Be opening your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be talking about kingdom treasures. That's the title today. Our theme for the year is the kingdom of God. That was a great class this morning, Steve. And I've enjoyed all the classes so far. And Matthew 6 here is right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. I know we're going to be focusing on that in our next few classes, and I'm looking forward to that. So I just want to mention some quick principles from here, and then I'll be moving on to 1 Timothy 6. But here in Matthew 6, verse 19, it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Notice here, Steve was talking about Hebrew parallelisms. I think this is a little bit like that. Jesus uses three different ways to communicate the same idea that you have to make a choice between the kingdom of God or the kingdom of this world. It's either treasures on earth or treasures in heaven. One or the other. Your eyes will either chase darkness or they will chase light. It cannot be both. Your master will either be money or God. You cannot serve both. And the whole Sermon on the Mount is filled with this principle. It starts with the first beatitude. We're going to talk about those next week. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Later on it says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Later on in chapter 6, many of us know this well, it says, "Don't worry about what you will eat or wear, but seek first what? His kingdom and his righteousness." And see, to have kingdom treasure, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, you need to stop caring about what the world thinks of you and start caring about what God thinks of you. You need to stop caring about being rich in this world and start caring about being rich in good deeds, rich towards God, rich in kingdom treasures. So what does that mean? How do we know where our heart is? Well, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what is your treasure? Matthew also says the kingdom is like treasure hidden in a field, that someone sold everything he had to buy that field so he could have the treasure. So treasure is what you value. Is the kingdom valuable enough to you to give up everything else? How do you know? Well, how do you spend your time? How are you making your decisions? What's the biggest excuse you hear people make when you ask them to spend time talking about God, studying the scriptures? That's right. I'm busy. That's the one I hear the most, right? We're all busy. All that really says is that something else is more important. We all, and I'm not just talking to the non-Christians, we all have a decision on how to spend our time. What we sacrifice and what we make time for. So are you spending your time on the kingdom? Now, I'm not saying neglect your responsibilities, but I am saying there should be priorities and there should be boundaries. For me, I don't know how many times I've had to say that missing church is not an option and that's not negotiable. I've had to say that so many times, usually in a job situation. Now, in my current job, to their credit, they've respected that, but I still had to take that stand. Or they'll take the time away from me. My family also needs me to be home. God calls me to be the father and husband they need. Got to make the time for that, right? Priorities, boundaries. Serving God, in addition to coming to church, is something where you often have to just figure it out. Figure out a way to make time for it. Or it just won't happen. But you will do that if your heart is on kingdom treasures. Jesus also talks about what your eyes are focused on. Is it worldly entertainment? Sinful things? Or is it positive, spiritual things? What are you feeding your mind? Most of what the world tries to feed our mind is drunkenness, sexual perversion, materialism, and many other things that you will pay a heavy spiritual price if you don't take your eyes away from it. It's not worth losing your salvation. But if the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? It'll take over. Jesus talks about who your master is. What master is you? Some might say, well, I'm my own master. Well, you will pay a price for that as well. But there's always something. Something else. Are you mastered by a bad habit that you cannot or will not give up? Is it money or power or career advancement? You cannot serve both God and something else. And you know, the sad thing is that something else that you choose over God will end up leaving you empty anyway. Kingdom treasure is the only true treasure. It's eternal. Its value is priceless. Can't put a number on it. So what is it? What is kingdom treasure? Well, we could spend the whole year defining it. I think that's kind of what we're going to be doing this year. But I do want to discuss a few aspects today. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm coming. First Timothy chapter 6. I know I'm reading the ESV. That's my favorite version. Many of you have the NIV, but it's a slightly different way of saying the same thing. You should be able to follow along. It says in verse 3, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth. imagining that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He, who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. There are a lot of similarities here with Paul's teaching and Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 6. We see here again the principle of storing up treasures as a good foundation for the future, to be able to take hold of that which is truly life, and of doing it by being generous and rich in good works. See, riches are uncertain. That's what it says, right? Satan tries to deceive us to think exactly the opposite. That's the message of the kingdom of this world. But our hope and trust must be on God, not on what we have or what we make, materially speaking. Now, Paul does talk about rich disciples. So I guess it's possible to be a Christian and be rich, although I think it makes things harder. But notice what he says about them. They should do good. They should be rich in good works. They should be generous. That's how they store up kingdom treasures. So if you do have worldly treasure, the trick is to give it away to get eternal treasure. Isn't that what Jesus told the rich young ruler? He went away sad. I heard of a brother who is wealthy, who said his secret to staying faithful is that every year he increased the percentage of his income that he gave to God. Not just the amount. Said it helps free him from the love of money. I was convicted by that. I decided to follow that example. So every time I get a raise, I increase not just the amount, but the percentage. Now, I don't say this to brag or to say you should do this. It's not in the Bible. No scripture says it. And I'm not just talking about giving to the church. I think It's good to take some of those opportunities to reserve for the poor, for other disciples that are in need. But what I am saying is that for me, I want to store up a good foundation for the future. I want to take hold of that which is truly life. And I do find that giving teaches me not to set my hope on the uncertainty of riches. It teaches me to trust God more and more, to rely on His rich provision, to trust in His wisdom, even in what I need and what I can do without. And that helps me trust in Him in other areas as well. Stephen spoke to us recently about being mobile for the kingdom. You remember that? That could mean moving somewhere for a mission or something like that. Some people here have done that. Or simply being flexible to serve in new ways in God's kingdom. And I find that the more tied down we are with material things, the harder it is to be that mobile and that flexible, and the less able we are to serve God. And we need to watch out for that. Look in verse 5. There's a play on words here that I found very interesting. In speaking of the false teachers that Timothy is to guard against in Ephesus, which is a great emphasis of the whole letter of 1 Timothy, he calls them people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Now, see, I could get up here and tell you that if you become a Christian and give your money to the church, you will be rich. And we would probably have a much bigger church if we did that. And there are churches teaching precisely that today. But I would be lying if I said that. You'll be rich in kingdom treasures, but not in worldly treasures necessarily. If I said that, I would be deprived of the truth, and I would be depriving you of the truth. And see, teaching godliness as a means of financial gain is a trap. A snare is the word used here. A way to keep you focused on seeking treasures on earth, wrapped up in the appearance of godliness. And there are a lot of pyramid schemes and get-rich-quick businesses today doing the exact same thing. Trying to add the name of God to something that is pure greed. Do not be deceived. You cannot serve both God and money. Now here's the part that jumped out at me. Verse 6, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Not a means of gain, but godliness itself is the gain. You see the difference? The false teachers were saying a means of gain. You get godliness, you get money. Paul's saying it is the gain. It is the kingdom treasure itself. It's not what you might get out of it in this world, but the fruits of the spirits themselves that are the kingdom treasures. And you cannot put a price on them. Look in verse 11. I spent about a week in my personal study just breaking down this one verse, so we're going to break it down here. It says, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. First, it says you need to flee these things. Well, what things are those? Well, in context, what he's talking about in the previous paragraph. The lie that godliness is a means to financial gain. Flee envy and dissension and slander. Flee the many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Flee these things. I was recently talking to a friend about this idea of fleeing. He found himself repeating sinful patterns that he wanted to change. And I told him, you need to flee. You need to stop getting close to the line and deceiving yourself into thinking you can handle it. You need to stop putting yourself in situations that are going to tempt you. Flee. Go in the opposite direction. Run away as far as you can. If it's drinking or other similar harmful habits, stop going to bars. Stop hanging with people that want to plunge you back into that destructive behavior. If it's sexual sin, get away from dangerous relationships. Stop watching stuff on TV or on the internet that just feeds trash into your mind. Flee. We need to do that. It's again, you need to give one up to get the other. It says you need to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness, kingdom treasures. You have to choose between the world and God's kingdom. Flee from the pursuit of worldly treasures. Flee from sin and replace it. That's the key too. It's not just what you don't do, but what you replace it with, right? You replace it with the pursuit of spiritual treasures, kingdom treasures, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Steve did a great job this morning talking about how the kingdom of God is all about righteousness, about the spiritual treasures. These things are kingdom treasures. These things are priceless. First Peter says our faith, which is one of the things listed here, is of greater worth than gold. You can't put a fixed value on these things, on these treasures. The value is eternal. But it says we need to pursue these things. We need to run away from the world and run towards kingdom treasures. Now the Greek word here, translated pursue, is dioko. It's a very aggressive word. It is often in a different context translated persecute. Paul uses it of himself when he says he persecuted Christians. He dioko Christians. It communicates great focus and intensity in pursuing a goal. In one case, it was destroying the church. Paul, who used to dioko disciples for that goal, now is saying we should dioko kingdom treasures. And we need to focus and pursue these things with great energy. So then, what's the question is, what are you aggressively pursuing? It says we need to pursue righteousness and godliness. I spent some time studying out the difference between these two things because I wasn't really clear what that was, and they're definitely related. But righteousness, dikaiosune, I probably butchered it in the Greek, speaks to your character, which generally governs your behavior and is more focused on how we interact with others. Godliness, sometimes also translated piety, is eusebeia in the Greek, and it speaks to our devotion to God. I kind of think of it, it's probably what we mean when we say somebody is spiritual or somebody's close to God. But the point is, are you pursuing these? Are you aggressively fighting to grow in your character, studying character issues in the Scriptures, getting input from brothers that are strong in those areas you want to grow in, making decisions to be different in specific ways? Are you dioko to be closer to God? Making more time for prayer, seeking more depth in your relationship with Him. For me, I've been focused on just prayer, devotion to prayer. I've recently given some specifics on this. And also on winning the battle of the mind. Not allowing my mind to wander and think of inappropriate or sinful things. That's a big fight. Are you fighting the good fight? Are you pursuing righteousness and godliness? It says we need to pursue faith. I think we often think of faith as something we either have or don't have, or something we can simply decide to have. There's probably some truth to that. But Paul tells Timothy to pursue it. Faith is something we can and should grow in, something we should go after with energy. Now, how do we do that? I don't know, we pray for help. God, help me overcome my unbelief. We don't allow ourselves to get discouraged. We study out faithful people or the concept itself of faith. We take leaps of faith, getting out of our comfort zone, putting us in situations that require faith. Not so much believing in ourselves, but in God. And we watch Him work, and our faith grows. Says we need to pursue love. I could have been really smart on this one. This could have been the sermon in and of itself. Pursue love. We could pick out each characteristic defined in the Bible as love, 1 Corinthians 13, other scriptures. Decide which ones you need to work on, make a plan, and be intentional and aggressive about it. We could focus on being more loving to our spouse, our kids, our close friends, people we're reaching out to. Pursue love. That's an idea for a sermon for somebody else. Love is the greatest of the spiritual gifts. Without it, we're nothing. It's priceless. Kingdom treasure. Pursue steadfastness. Also translated endurance, patience, or perseverance. It means enduring difficult circumstances. How do you pursue that? Well, I guess you got to go through some difficulties, right? I don't necessarily advise pursuing difficulties. I think they're guaranteed to come. I think most of us would probably say we're going through some sort of difficulty right now, some bigger than others. We can pursue learning and growing from it. We can just try to figure out what God's trying to teach us. I think sometimes we don't take the opportunity. We just get frustrated. But these can be an opportunity to get stronger in character. And that will be very useful during the next difficulty, because this is not the last one. And that too is priceless. Says we need to pursue gentleness. Now, this one is a quality I used to kind of ignore. Certainly not my strength. I've had to work on it. But you know, the list of the fruits of the Spirit, this is one I used to just kind of gloss over. True confessions. It's the opposite of harshness. All right? It is to show consideration, to think on the effect on others before you open your big mouth. That's the part I've had to focus on a lot. It's to be calm and bear with others in love. Now for me, being married and having a daughter, fathers might be able to relate, has taught me a lot about the great value of gentleness. And as I've grown to appreciate it and practice it, no sense in appreciating it if you don't do something about it. As I've done that, I've seen great growth in myself and my marriage and my family, and that too is priceless. And the question for you is, what treasures are you pursuing today? Let us flee from the deceitful and harmful desires of this world and pursue the kingdom treasure. And in closing, as Paul says in verse 12, let us fight the good fight of the faith. Let us take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He, who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in an approachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. God bless you all.
Thanks again to Danny for the great message he delivered to us. Let's go ahead and pray as we close out. Father, thank you so much for this weekly opportunity to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, Father, how we just will never deserve it, Father, but we're reminded weekly about that, Father. Thank you so much for the message from God's Word that Danny delivered that reminded us whether we're rich or poor or in easy times or difficult times in the eyes of the world, that there are things that we can pursue, Father, that will last, that will help us to get through the times that we're going through. And I pray, Father, help us to this week to study these things out on our own and to grow in them, Father, and help other people to know about the freedom that is available to them, Father, to overcome the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.